grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you like a good wedding? Looks like a lot of you do. I can remember a number of good weddings here at Praise Lutheran. Some while I was here, some I knew of because I was in the area. I remember most recently Roger and Laura this last year, Dick and Amy not too long ago, Larry and Phyllis, Chris and Bev, John and Jody, Ken and Emma Lou, and a few other non-member weddings that we've had. All great ceremonies. The two became one. And then there was one great feast afterwards. And I still remember most especially Roger and Laura's feast because they had Magpie's cake from Knoxville. These cakes are just fantastic. My favorite. Weddings, in many ways, really are the best. Aren't they? And so it is with great excitement that we should hear God's word today about the kingdom of heaven and react to the good news that the kingdom of heaven is being prepared to a wedding feast for the king to give for his son. For all the bad news that we hear today, it never ends. It's very good to hear from God's word that the future is looking up. And we as Christians look forward to the veil of tears being replaced by the veil of the bride and the magpies. Thank you very much. But the bad news in the Bible is that when the king declared with his servants that the wedding was about to begin, the invited guests did not show. Not a one. Why? Was the dates printed on the invitations misprinted? Was there a wreck on the interstate? Nobody could get there? No. Was there a snowstorm or something? No. People were just too busy to come. One had a farm. Another had a business. And still others were just evil. They harassed those servants that brought the message, and they were hostile to them and even killed them. The king sent more servants, saying, "Come to the wedding feast. Come to the wedding feast of my son. All is ready. My fattened calf, everything's ready. Come eat, come enjoy." But perhaps the people were just too busy with their technology, or too concerned about their investments, or too preoccupied with world peace, or Sharia law, or Washington politics, or Netflix, or craft beer, or hunting deer, or trying to snuff out the light of truth, even if it meant killing the king's servants, because we didn't like their pushy invitation and insistence that everything's now ready, come to the wedding feast. Who are they to tell me where to go? This angered the king. According to the parable we heard, he sent his troops and he destroyed those murderers and burned their city. In other words, to hell with them because they didn't give a rip about the king's son wedding and the king's invitation. Therefore, they didn't care about the king. Therefore, the saying is true, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Now the king, could have said, game over, forget the wedding, the chosen ones didn't care. But thankfully, there was a second pool from which to draw from. The king, sent his servants out into the main roads and invited others, whomever they could find, both good and bad. So the wedding was full of guests. You see, that king was going to have a wedding. His son was well worth it. It meant the world to the king. After all, it's his son. Indeed, his only son. Born to set his people free. Many of the newly invited guests rejoiced, apparently, at the invitation, knowing, hey, we weren't worthy to be in the royal presence of the king in his son's wedding in the first place. So now they dressed up, as is fitting, with wedding garments, and they came. However, others just came with no special attire, no wedding garment. And the king came out and looked at the guests, and he saw some with wedding garments, yes, and others with no wedding garments. And he said to one without a wedding garment, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? Bind him foot and hand and cast him out into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth." This really is the crux of the parable, isn't it? God invites everyone, good and bad, to the wedding feast called heaven. But on the day of the resurrection of the dead, only those with wedding garments stay. And all the rest, without, must go away. A wedding garment is required. So what is the wedding garment? It's not a yarmulke or a hijab. It's not a tuxedo. It's not a dress from Overstock.com. It's the clothing of Christ's righteousness that covers all our sins. It's our baptism. It's the garment of faith in God's love made known in Christ. Everyone rises from the dead. The Scriptures declare so. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But only those who believed in God and His Son and God's grace at the cross and in the open tomb and in the gift that God gives for eternal life, only they are clothed properly and worthily to enjoy the everlasting feast. In this way is understood Jesus' final words in the text, "Many are called, but few are chosen." So if you put it all together, what do you get? There's going to be a wedding feast. Yay! Look ahead, people. The world, because of sin and lack of faith in God's servants, lack faith in God's invitation as the king. They lack faith in God. But God is gracious in offering the ultimate invitation, not just by servants, but by His Son. We heard it in the text. "Wear my robe, and you will rightly stand in heaven. Come to the feast. Everything is ready. Be dressed and live. But don't be too busy, too preoccupied, too allured by false belief, so that you miss the gracious invitation of the king's wedding for His Son. There's either heaven to gain or hell to pay. And in hell, you can only have your cake but not eat it, too. Whereas in heaven, magpies, Messiah, and the miracle of sinners dressed in wedding garments, saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, and singing praises to the King and to His Son. Looking forward. Amen." And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.